I would like to thank you for tuning in on this podcast. My name is Billy Davison. I'm here with Senior Minister Brian Sturtz.
Nice to meet you.
And we also have one of the elders here with us today, Terry Frank.
Afternoon, everybody.
We got a lot of exciting things coming up in the church, and we've got some information that we want to let everybody know.
Yeah, we've got some things kind of happening, so kind of give you guys a heads up on some things that are coming down the road. One of the things that's coming up that'll be happening really soon is on November the 17th, we're going to have one service. It'll be at 9:15, and we're going to have Thanksgiving along with that. So it's also our congregational meeting at that time, too. So just kind of keep that in mind. November 17th, 9:15. We started at 9:15. That way, by the time we're done with the service and we're eating and cleaned up, then you're not getting home at, 3 in the afternoon. You're still getting home at, like, 1 in the afternoon.
Perfect nap time.
Yeah, perfect nap time. That way you've had plenty of turkey, and then you can go home, take a nap.
Get that tryptophan.
That's right.
Get it going.
Get the tryptophan going. Yeah. That's right. That's right. So don't forget to sign up. There's some, we could use some desserts and other things to eat besides turkey. So if you've got a good casserole you want to bring, or a favorite, pie or cake or something you want to bring, that we'll take that as well.
That is, I know my favorite thing for Thanksgiving dinner is sweet potatoes.
We'll get some people to sign up on those.
Mm-hmm. What is your favorite thing to eat?
One of my favorite is pecan pie.
Pecan pie.
Oh, man.
Well, it's okay. I can do a good pecan pie.
We have had somebody that made, a minced meat pie one time. Never had that before. Yeah, I've never had one of those, but I know some people really like those. So.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the mincemeat.
Not a big fan of the mincemeat.
There's a couple other activities I'd like to mention. Brian mentions our congregational fellowship on the 17th and Thanksgiving potluck and all that. But the week prior to that, if you have youth or you want to just act like a youth, taking some of the youth out to P-Bar Farms, I believe it is, for the corn maze and laser tag. So kiddos just need to bring enough cash to get some snacks and stuff on the way back from playing laser tag. And for the guys, we do an area-wide men's meeting with all of the independent Christian churches, and that happens every other month, but it just happens to fall this month on Monday, November 11th, and we'll be leaving the church, taking a couple of vans over to Forest Hills for their annual chili cook-off. So that's always a good event for just the guys to go over and eat a lot of fattening, heartburn-type chili. And
bring a bib. And
bring a bib. That's right. That's right.
Bib and some Pepto-Bismol.
And enjoy
just the company with the guys. So there's quite a few activities going on here.
Who's the speaker going to be this time?
I think it's the president, or I guess I don't call him president. I guess it's the director of Cooks and Hills Christian Ministry, which is a ministry that Harmony supports.
We eat about 6 o'clock, so eat from 6 to 7, and then the speaker
speakers.
From 7 to 8, and normally disperse about 8 o'clock, and that way everybody's back home by 9 or so and ready to get ready for the next day.
Yeah, so that's usually about how it goes.
Awesome. We also got, what else is youth doing? Is there some ice skating? Or?
Oh, yeah, in December.
Yep, that's on out in December.
Yeah, it's on out in December. But yeah, we're going to be going ice skating. Yeah, we're going to go downtown to the Bricktown area where they have that nice outdoor skating area and go down there and skate around, or at least maybe get some hot chocolate while we're down there.
So I think, everybody should come, plan on being there that day, and see Senior Minister Brian Sturtz at Triple Lutz.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Or become the Lutz something. Yeah. That's right. That's right. And then also, as far as the whole youth thing goes, for those of you that maybe were aware or not, not too long ago, we had a potential candidate for the youth minister position here at Harmony visit us. His name is Caleb Page. His wife's name is Michaela, and they visited with us while we did the fall festival, and they were also here on a Sunday, so got some good feedback about that. And we might be looking and trying to have him come back again to kind of make another personal visit. But we're still following up with him, still, asking some questions, and he's asking some questions of us and stuff. So, but yeah, that's the direction that we really feel we'd like to head in is finding somebody that has a passion for training up youth and kids and bringing more youth and kids to know about Jesus. And so that's definitely a direction we'd like to head in. And then let's see, a couple other things that are coming down the pike. Check your mailbox here. Hopefully by December, maybe mid-December, there'll be a direct mailer we're going to send out. Hopefully about 5,000 people are going to get this. And it'll be a little direct mailer. I have some information about the church in there. So if you happen to get it, well, good. That lets us know it actually got mailed.
Right.
And so anyway, we have some information in there. One of those little bits of information that'll be in there is, if you weren't aware, Harmony is a Red Cross shelter. And we mentioned that because it's coming up on wintertime and, you know, sort of notorious for having ice storms or snowstorms, blizzard kind of conditions. And so if we're ever needed, you know, Harmony would be open, like we've been opened up in the past, to be a Red Cross shelter. So just kind of be aware. And if you are thinking to yourself, I might like to help with that, then you need to be sure that you go to the Red Cross website and sign up to be a volunteer. Otherwise, it sort of limits what you're able to do if we're opened as a Red Cross shelter.
Right, and that will require a background check and,
yeah,
you know, getting your picture taken and getting a badge. And
yes, and all that kind of good stuff. Yep. All that kind of fun paperwork stuff. Yeah, so just kind of keep that in mind, you know, as we head into that time. You know, if we are opened up as a shelter, you know, if that's something you like to do, then now's the time to fill out the background check form or get all that done.
Time to get that ball rolling.
Yeah, time to get that done.
We need as many volunteers as we need.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of people may not realize we've been opened on several occasions, or at least placed on standby, because mm-hmm. the Choctaw area is notorious for just about every disaster there is. I mean, a few years ago, we had the fires that rolled through here. We've had the ice storms. I know if you look back in history, on Choctaw has been subject to flood in the past, and of course all the tornadoes that have come through. Yeah. So there's been several occasions that Harmony's been able to reach out to those that are struggling and open the doors to have a place to come and get some hot chocolate or spend the night, whatever the needs may be. So,
yeah.
Hopefully we won't be needed, but we're here if we are.
That's right. We're here if we are.
Also, I'll jump back in time a little bit. Harmony is it's a sending church. We try to send folks to the mission field. We count locally as our mission field. You know, that's why we're very passionate about hiring a youth minister and making sure we're passing that gospel light to the next generation. But then, and Brian also mentioned Cooks and Hills, one of the ministries that we support. That's a little more domestic here, right here in the United States. But a lot of times people think of missions as way out there somewhere. We also support that. We have support several mission teams that are on the field right now, but we're getting ready to send a team to India. So that's the very first planning meeting for that is coming up this Sunday, immediately following.
That's a big trip.
Service. We'll be a big trip. We've had several go to India in the past, and their heart is to go back and return to there.
How do you get a trip like that together? I mean, what's the planning process? Who do you choose to go? Can just anybody go?
It starts off with like a big pool, like, are you interested? Would you like more information? And then usually as you get more information, you find out how much it's going to cost, you find out that this isn't just, you know, a sightseeing tour, you know, that kind of a thing, then that usually kind of whittles the field down to those who really just kind of have a desire to go.
You're expected to put in a minimum of 13 hours manual labor.
That's right. No, well, usually once we get things a little more formalized, then usually what we've done is we'll set up, as things progress, usually what we'll end up doing is we'll set up like a mandatory class for people to go through. And if you're not going to work your way through the course, then that becomes one of those triggers of, okay, if you're not going to do this, then we won't, you know, you're not going to be able to go with us if you're not a part of the planning and the preparation to kind of get to go. And then on top of all that, you know, we're guesstimating that right now for one person, $3,500 to go, because that's $1,500 of that's your round trip ticket, you know, meals while you're there, maybe like one hotel stay when you first get there. when you first fly in. Once you tally up all of that, then you're maybe around about $3,000 something
Now, who
dollars.
pays for that? Do you, if you
Use
want
an
to go, you
individual.
have to
Yeah,
put up
use
your
an
own?
individual. You have to bug your parents and friends and neighbors and sell some cookies and I don't, whatever you might, creatively come up with to try to get that kind of money to go.
And
Yeah.
then once you go, how long are they gone?
I think right now we're looking at a minimum. I think it was about 14 days, about 2 weeks, I think is what it was. Maybe four, it was 2 weeks to 10 days, because out of that, 4 days is travel. It takes about 2 days to kind of get all the way over there, and then, or at least a whole day to get all the way over there, another day to sort of get acclimated to the point where, okay, I'm not falling asleep and it's 2 in the afternoon, and then, the time change and stuff. It takes a couple of days for the body to kind of get going, and then it takes about another 2 days or so to kind of get back into America, and then at least another day while you're here, once you're back to, for your body to adjust yet again back to the time change and difference and all that kind of stuff. So about at least that long. And just sort of general things that we might do while we're there. We're going to be visiting a Mid India Christian Mission with Vivert and Neelam Lal. They do a lot of work with several different things. One is they set up churches. They go around and find places where there's not a church and start one. They've set up a bunch of those. They do relief work in the area for droughts, for floods, for various things. They have an eye hospital. They have a school that they operate. They also have recently they've added basically kind of like an orphanage for children whose parents through a lot of typically has been through persecution and stuff like that. Their parents are just gone, and so they're making sure that these kids are taken care of, that they go to school, they have a meals, getting an education, somebody taking care of them. And so they have a lot of that. So that we'll probably visit all of those things on top of probably going around to some of the churches and doing some actual ministry work, maybe like put on a VBS or something like that while we're there and do some things like that. But those are just kind of up in the air, ideas. As we get closer, we'll get a little bit better idea as to what they really need. Because when you go on a mission trip, you want to do more than just kind of show up and, wow, this is really great. Let's go take a bunch of pictures. Because if that's all you're going to do, then really you're more of a burden to the missionary than
Right.
anything. You're just kind of, you're a bunch of tourists, and that's what we don't want to do. We
If you're
want to be
looking
able
for
to,
a vacation, this is
yeah,
not
this is, yes, exactly. If you're looking for a vacation, sorry, book through another travel agent, or something. Not
it.
us, yeah. But I mean, we will do a few touristy things while we're there. More than likely, while we're there, we'll probably go visit the Taj Mahal. And we'll probably go visit a couple other, highlights and stuff, some things like that. But we won't just be tourists. We'll be doing
Awesome.
more than
How many
that.
times have we done this?
Well, I went when I was in college. I've been over there. I know that Raymond Kinsley has been a few years ago. He did that while he was a college student at Ozark Christian College. Then most recently, here at Harmony, we had Annette Wilterdink. She went over for about 10 days. She was over in India and then came back. So we've had several from Harmony that have had contact kind of out that way and coming back. And it's a ministry that we haven't visited. We have some here that are pretty local, like Cooks and Hills, that we've visited. We kind of know what's going on with them. Through Youth Hope, which is another mission that we support, we're pretty much up to speed on them because their parents, which are Kyle and Mindy Duncan, their parents are John and Peggy Mitchell. We pretty well know what's going on with them, and it's been a while since we've been overseas, and so this would be a good chance because we've done a lot of things local, and now we can try something a little international.
Little international work.
We're gonna go international,
That's
which.
awesome. You said when I was in college and Ray went when he was in college, is this
Yeah.
limited to college type people or?
Oh no. Hi. This is open. I mean, if you, I would say though, you might, check with the old doctor there if you're up for flying around. But I
Make sure
mean,
you're physically up to the
physically
task.
up to it, because it will be tiring. I mean, you're talking, what is it, 20 or 18 or something hours in a plane? Because I believe from like here to probably Germany, what's that, 10 hours or 12 or so, and then you fly from Germany to India, and there's some different ways to do that. There are ways that you can fly closer to where we're going to be. Otherwise, you have to fly into Delhi. And if you fly into Delhi, then you have to take a 12-hour train trip to get to Damo, India. Whereas there's another flight you can kind of take. You would fly into Delhi, hop another little puddle jumper plane to get you a little closer to Damo instead of having to take a 12-hour train trip. And that kind of factors into what we end up doing as far as costs go. You know, if you take the train, that's one cost. If you add the flight, the extra little flight once you're in Delhi, then that's another little cost. And then one night in a hotel, once you finally get in once you're finally there at that one airport, there's a hotel attached to it, so you don't have to leave the airport. You can just get off, get your room, pass out, you know, and then you're ready to go. So that's why it could take quite a while to get to where you're going. It could take a little time. But once you're there, I mean, I know things have greatly changed since I've been there, but it's just really hard to compare our lives here with the lives and the people that you see there. You know, a lot of them are getting around, you know, like on an ox cart, you know, or, you know, sandals and still in, you know, some of those scenes you see maybe from a typical National Geographic movie about a third world country. That's the stuff you see. But then in the bigger cities, you think you're walking like downtown Oklahoma City. You know, there's a pizza place and there's a Subway and there's a, you know, here's a McDonald's and here's a, all those kind of, I mean, those in the major cities, those are there. But when you get out away from the city, things are still, you know, very, very rural, you know.
The poverty level kind of picks up the further away you get out of.
Yeah. Like when I was there, when I visited the Taj Mahal when I was there years ago, you could go visit the Taj Mahal. It's beautiful. I mean, just absolutely beautiful. And then you walk out one of the gates to the Taj Mahal, and it's kids in hardly wearing any clothes and people that are hungry, and it's just this huge difference. You know, you have some that have and some that just don't have anything, you know. And so it's a lot of extremes. You know, you can be in one place where people seem, the economy and the things like that seem fairly okay, and then turn the corner and it's just falling apart. You know, you wonder, well, why can't that, what's going on? Like, what's, you know, if that guy's got bread and he's two blocks over, you know, what's the deal? And so, just a lot of that. It just kind of makes you scratch your head, but it also makes you very appreciative of your life and makes you very aware of our own comfort level sometimes. You know, we are sometimes addicted to our own comfort as opposed to these people. You know, they gather around a tree on Sunday morning and they don't care if it's raining or if it's hot or if it's cold or if the air conditioning worked or, you know, if the guitar was too loud or
those luxuries.
Yeah, you know, they don't even have any of that, you know. They don't even worry if the chair wasn't padded because there ain't no chair. You know, I mean, that's just how it is. And it just kind of opens your eyes to some of the things that we are often very comforted by and they don't have.
Yeah, we do tend to get lost in our American lives here.
Yes. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Well, those are a few of the things that is kind of on our radar screen that we were looking to pass along to everybody.
One last little tidbit about the mission trip to India. You know, there's a lot of logistics behind it, so it does take a little while to plan out, as Brian mentioned, and because people have to get their shots and their passport and all that kind of stuff. So that's why we encourage people to come to the training classes and put the effort into that so that they understand some of the cultural differences that they will see and be immersed in.
So do you need to speak any of the language?
No, not necessarily. Well, but like for example, in India or like here in America, if you talk to somebody, it's considered polite to look them in the eye. In Indian culture, that depending on what dealing with a lot of the caste system and things like that, people typically don't look each other in the eye, especially a man and a woman. For a man to kind of look into a woman's eyes is to sort of give the impression like, hey, I think you're kind of hot or whatever. And that can get you in hot water because that could be somebody's wife or something like that. And I didn't mean to do that. I didn't know, you know? And so that's why usually when talking with somebody from India, they may not look at you directly in the eyes. They could look down or up, and they don't mean any disrespect by that. It's just their culture. It's the same with feet. In our culture, you know, we got shoes and we just kind of walk wherever, and you might prop your feet up on your sofa or up on the coffee table. But in India, feet are considered very nasty parts of the body. And so if you were to put your feet up on somebody's chair in their house, or you propped your feet up on their sofa, then that's a big disrespectful thing that you just did, you know, and you might not even be aware of it, but you did. And so there's just little cultural things like that.
Who teaches the class?
It's going to be Annette Wolterdink. And usually there's a book. I can't remember the name of the book, but there was a book that we usually get that sort of you would read through, and we would go through the different classes together, and you'd walk through the book, and it kind of explains some of those things, like be sensitive to the culture you're coming into, because we're the outsiders coming in. And sometimes we have this idea of when you go on a mission trip, like, you know, we're just going to swarm in and kind of take over, you know, well, you need help with this or you need help with that. We're just going to, well, we'll help do anything. And you got to be careful as to what you do or what you don't do, so you don't offend people. And you just got to be careful of some of those
it
things.
It would kind of be the same way here if a bunch of Indian people were coming out. Like, okay, now let me get all these shrines set up for you.
Yeah,
No.
And it's a different, you know, India is a different kind of joint, you know. A lot of the things that they do happen on event versus time. You know, we're very time oriented here. You know, service starts at 10:45. You know, over there, when's service start? Well, when everybody gets here. Okay, so when's that? Well, when everybody gets here.
Depends on what they had to do.
Okay, you know, so what you're telling me is it could be a while. You know, we don't know. And so they operate a little differently that way, as opposed to us. We tend to be very, you know, very time sensitive. You know, service starts at 10:45. It's over by this time. Then by this time, this happens. And for them, they're a little more event oriented with the things that they do. And so you got to be sensitive to that, because otherwise, as an American, you're over there maybe chewing off all your fingernails going, well, this is supposed to start on time. And it, you know, right. We should have started 10 minutes ago. You know, we're behind the clock.
So just relax.
Relax. Take it easy. It's going to be okay. You know, all is well. You know, and you got to be careful too, especially in a foreign country, where you get your water. You know, you can't just go.
No, that's a thought. They don't have, you know, Ozarka spring water.
No, no. I mean, there is water you can get that's safe to drink, but you can't just walk up to their sink and get water out and not expect to get some sort of a bug, and then bad things happen. So you know, you have to get the bottled water.
Well, surely you're not speaking of experience.
Well, I did when I was over there. I did get some sort of a stomach virus while I was there, bug of some kind. Yeah, and that wasn't any fun.
So you got to be very careful about that.
Yeah, you got to be careful. You got to be careful. But it was a good time. I mean, it was an excellent experience. An eye-opening experience, and so we hope that there'll be some that'll be able to go and be able to be a blessing to those that are over there, while at the same time walking away with a good experience that informs your walk with Christ at the same time. Yeah.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah, very good.
And when does this kick off again?
November 3rd will be the first sort of just gathering meeting, and then after that...
That's this Sunday.
Yeah, this coming Sunday,
immediately following the second service. So we'll start gathering everybody up for the initial discussions this Sunday right after church.
This is sort of casting the net broad, you know, whoever wants to come, come on in, you know. And then I'm sure there'll be several other meetings like that at first until things get a little more serious to say, okay, look, if you're really, really going, then here's some things you're going to have to start doing if you're going to go.
All right, sounds great. Anybody have anything else?
No, I don't think so.
I think we've covered quite a few things, at least through the next 2 months, through November and December. Yeah. A lot of activities on everybody's plate, but love to have folks come and enjoy some of those with the Harmony family.
Yeah, most definitely.
Sure. Invite a guest, bring him to church.
That's right. Invite a guest, bring him to church. You know, have some turkey with us on November 17th, and, you know, then go take a nap.
Yeah, go home, take a nap.
That's right.
Well, we appreciate you listening to our podcast. If you have anything you would like us to talk about or discuss in the next podcast, just let us know. I'm Billy Davison.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Terry.